It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. I'm here with Kerry Kasem, who's always laughing and smiling when I say I'm going to manage your life, because really, I probably won't be managing anyone's life today. Can't even manage my own.
It's all right. It's all right. When, you know, you can take a day off.
But it's interesting because we've got a real full show today, and we're going to talk to two people who actually do manage other people's lives, and it's important that they do, because sometimes we need a little help from someone.
I agree with that.
Or others.
Yeah.
Many times we need help.
I need a lot of help. you help me, Alan. Many times you have helped me out. This show has helped me out. Can I just tell you that the reason I got to see my dad at Berkeley East when he was locked away was because of this show. The reason I've gotten defended over so many times when my stepmother speaks and somebody is interviewing her is because of the show.
Really?
Because of all the people and lawyers I've met on the show.
Yeah. Well, I think we have done a great service. And in fact, later on the show, we've talked a lot about divorce, about family law matters. And we have with us Heather Piper, who's a mediator in family law issues. It's really interesting when we talk about mediation, because that can be the answer for a lot of people who may not be able to deal with the traditional civil litigation system that we use in divorces and child custody matters and other matters of that type. So Heather will give us information and talk about whether mediation may be a real positive alternative for a very difficult subject when two married people, for the most part, are going their separate ways. And a lot of times they can't because of the children. So we have to learn how to coexist. She is a shining example of someone who has been very successful in doing just that through a divorce with two kids. And she can tell her story and how she helps others see the light, as she did years ago when the situation came up for her. Now, you know, interestingly, we watch the news and we see things that happen, and it makes us think. You're telling me, Kerry, that Gervie's Law has made you think and helped, and some of the lawyers have really shown things to you that you weren't aware of. There's been so much news, disturbing news, and in the past several months. And one of the subjects that has been on the airwaves and in the media, social media as well, is Dr. George Tyndall, who is the USC gynecologist who has been sued and has been accused of so many awful things. And, you know, interestingly, you say that the show has shown you things. Well, my wife, Nancy, actually was looking at the media, as she often does, like you do, Kerry, on her phone, because I can't get her to look up. She's going to kill me for that. But, you know, she saw the picture of Dr. Tyndall, and she said, "That's my doctor."
No.
"That was my doctor." Yeah. And I said, "Really?"
She should be on the show, Alan. Why is Nancy not here?
She wouldn't do it. But she did give me permission to indicate to our listeners, if anyone's listening, about about her. That's why I assured her it's okay. But anyway, she hasn't
done
anything.
No one's listening, Nancy. No one.
Nancy, let's talk about what happened to you with Dr. Tyndall.
Wow.
She was at USC at the time. She was a student. It was her gynecologist. And
so
she
obviously
said it was really creepy.
But did...
I don't want to talk about it. I'm a lawyer, and I need to protect my wife's rights.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe we'll ask our first guest, because he is the authority on sexual abuse victims' cases. I mean, it's really an honor to have someone who has been involved with so much awful, so many awful acts, so many things that, you know, just are horrible in our society, going back to the Catholic Church, talking about priests, and he was involved with the Catholic Church, Inuit villages in Alaska, LAUSD, and of course, something that we've talked about on this show in the past, the Larry Nassar case in the USA Gymnastics. In fact, Jeanette Antolin was on our show, and she talked about Larry Nassar, the doctor for USA Gymnastics, and how that impacted her, and of course, how USA Gymnastics can be held responsible. And now John Manley is front and center on the Dr. George Tyndall, just a horrible, horrible sexual abuse case. Dr. Tyndall, of course, is no longer, thankfully, at the USC Student Health Center. And I'm hoping that I'm not showing my feelings, because I think everyone deserves due process. But we'll hear from John Manley about that. Yeah. Want to bring on Manley Stewart and Finaldi founding partner, John Manley. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Oh, thank you, guys. How are you?
I'm doing really great, and I hope that introduction appropriately set the stage for what we want to talk about. And by the way, we did have your partner, Vince Finaldi, on our show some time ago with the Wade Robson case. So we're a fan of your firm and what you're trying to do to help victims.
Thank you both. Thanks for the kind introduction. I really appreciate it.
And by the way, you probably don't, I don't know you, you don't know me, but we both attended Pepperdine Law School at the same time. I was a visiting student because I went to law school in Canada, but in 1990, I actually attended the school, and maybe we chatted when we were in the library together or something. It is a small world. But let's turn the focus to what's really important here.
Were you the Canadian guy who had the problem with whiskey, or was that somebody else?
I was the Canadian guy that had a problem with a visa, actually. I was the whiskey was because I couldn't stay in this country, and Pepperdine Law School was kind enough to give me an F1 visa, and I told everyone that I was a student there. I was working at the time at NBC Law, and Pepperdine was the only school in Southern California that would allow me to stay as an F1, and I was able to work at NBC at the time, so I was kind of a fraud there, and I know you were an outstanding student. I wish I could share some of the other...
I was not an outstanding student. So
you don't have to tell people that.
I don't care.
He's doing well now. Who cares?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
That's a good point, though. You know, it doesn't matter what happened in school.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah, I was fine, but I was by no means outstanding.
You know, it's interesting because we were probably at the same commencement ceremony, and they called me up on stage, and they were handing out the diplomas, and of course, I didn't get my diploma from there because I was just visiting, and I opened it up. They gave me, like, under the guise that I'm getting my law degree from Pepperdine, which I didn't, and I open up the diploma, and there's a big, huge smiley face there. There's no diploma. And
are you kidding?
Canadians in this country.
That was it.
Wait, you walked the stage, but
I did walk the stage.
A smiley face?
I got a smiley face, a big, huge smiley face,
weird.
And it says, from your friends at Pepperdine Law. John, I'm sure you actually got your diploma, and obviously...
That's my story anyway.
That's your story, but you've done some really great work with it. Let's talk quickly, and I want to, you know, we'll review some of the other cases that you've been involved with, but first let's talk about the George Tyndall story, because recently there was a resolution, so to speak, at least for the class action suit. Was it $215 million?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say that was very brave of your wife to allow you to share that story, and I'm so sorry that she encountered him. She should never have encountered him, and you know, my hat's off to her, and I hope she gets some level of healing.
Well, you know, I know she hasn't been involved with the legal process at all. They did approach her, but she kind of ignored it. But maybe I'll have her call your office or something and see whether or not her rights have been preserved. But you can talk a little bit about some of the victims with that. We'll bring it into the ones that have actually filed cases.
Well, did you want me to talk about that?
Well, why don't you, first of all, let's talk about the resolution, because it's been in the news so much. You know, we can talk about how it all evolved, but...
Well, so we haven't resolved our cases. That resolution was negotiated by a federal class action firm. I actually don't file class action cases on behalf of sexual abuse victims, and I don't do it for a very clear reason, which is I think it's wildly inappropriate to do so. You know, if you have a fee that you're charged by a rental car company or your bank or something along those lines, where, you know, it's $10 and everybody gets charged $10, that's a good way to resolve a situation like that with a class.
Right.
But in terms of sexual assault, you know, there's no way any one person responds to that trauma. You know, I heard somebody analogize at one time to being kicked by a horse. You know, some people get kicked by the horse and they have bruised ribs and they, you know, they get better. Some people get kicked by a horse and they're in the hospital for weeks and they eventually heal. And some people get kicked by the horse and they're never the same again.
You know, it's interesting, John, that you talk about that, because I've been advocating that for many years in my specialty, which is workers' compensation. People wonder why certain people are able to get back on the horse, so to speak, get back to work and be successful in their job. And others just have complete, you know, breakdowns and their body never heals and they can't get back on their feet. And it's basic, you know, I told Schwarzenegger when he was governor, when I had an opportunity to talk to him about why the laws are the way they are with workers' compensation, is that we're all different and the law shouldn't discriminate and just assume that we are going to respond the same to other and different stimuli.
Yeah. And the problem with this class action is that, you know, there was no discovery, meaning for your non-lawyer listeners, there was no documents produced. There was no depositions. There was nothing. This law firm came in, negotiated this settlement for $250 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but the settlement is still secret. They've never disclosed it. What they've disclosed publicly is the minimum settlement is $2,500 and the maximum is $250,000. Well, I can tell you in the Michigan State case, cases involving Dr. Nassar, and Michigan law relative to California law is terrible. The average settlement for our clients there was over $1.2 million.
Wow.
You know, you don't get assaulted by your doctor and then not even know you're assaulted and then find out years later that what he's doing wasn't medical treatment, that he was taking naked pictures of you, that he was photographing your genitals inappropriately, that he was using improper techniques. I mean, we've got clients that he was diagnosing with venereal disease that didn't have venereal disease because he had some sort of, we allege that he had some sort of bizarre control fetish. He was running a boudoir photo company, taking, you know, basically sexed up pictures of young women. At the same time, he was the doctor at SC and trying to recruit women to do it. There's a lot of evidence of what I'll call fetish type interest by Dr. Tyndall. And some of the stories are just horrific. You know, and these are, in some instances, 16, 17, 18, 19 year old young women,
right,
who are and girls, you know, most of whom went to the doctor because they wanted to begin to have a sexual relationship with their boyfriend in college.
Exactly.
Which is a perfectly normal thing to do. And instead of just helping these women, and they didn't go home because most of them didn't want mom and dad to know, they went to the one guy on campus you'd saw if you were a female, and he took that position of trust and authority. And really, when these women are at their, these young women are at their most vulnerable, and took gross advantage of that.
Yeah.
And the worst part about it is USC knew, and when they found out, we know they found out much earlier, but when they found out it was going to come out, if they didn't do something in 2016, they paid him to go away. They actually paid him a settlement and entered into a confidentiality agreement.
John, we have to take a quick break, but it's interesting that when you talk about that, because it's there are a lot of similarities with USA Gymnastics and Larry Nassar, and I know that you know all about that. But we want to talk specifically after the break about the cases that maybe you are pursuing, not the class action suit, although, you know, people, I think, after your explanation, understand the difference and why there is a difference. And I know Carrie is itching to ask you a question as well, but we got to pay for this. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Napa Know-How. It's the biggest holiday sale ever at Napa. Like a Black Friday sale every day, with hundreds of items at their best prices of the year. Like a Bluetooth speaker with LED light system for just $29.99. Just $29.99. See, just like Black Friday, but nobody gets trampled. So don't miss Napa's biggest holiday sale ever. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How. at participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 12/31/18.
Wherever you are this giving season, there's no better way to say happy holidays than with custom cards, calendars, and photo gifts from Vistaprint. And right now, you can get 50% off all holiday cards and calendars at Vistaprint.com. There are hundreds of our newest card designs to choose from, or give a year's worth of joy by personalizing calendars full of unforgettable pictures. So get merry, get jolly, get 50% off all holiday cards and calendars. Plus, save on other photo gifts at Vistaprint.com. Just enter promo code HOLIDAY. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code HOLIDAY.
At Target, it's time to give, gather, and save with weekend holiday deals. This Saturday and Sunday only, get 25% off kitchen appliances and cookware. That's 25% off the Instant Pot Duo, 25% off Keurig K-Mini, or 25% off the KitchenAid Professional Stand Mixer. Give your compliments to the chef in your kitchen a treat, because at Target this weekend, the deals are cooking up sweet. Gather round for weekend holiday deals all season long, only at Target. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Here's the one you've been waiting for. Macy's Friends and Family. Get an extra 10 to 30% off with your Macy's card or pass, and an extra 15% off beauty. Plus, join us for Macy's 12 Days of Fun, in-store and online. Go caroling. Let your kids get crafty. Shop with your besties. Get in the holiday spirit with beauty updates, hand-picked gifts, free gift wrap, expert style advice, and more. 12 Days of Fun is happening now through December 10th at Macy's. Savings off sale prices, exclusions apply.
Let's do it.
Okay.
O-K-L-L-L.
On this week's OKLA, the As We Were Saying podcast, we catch up with Jillian. You get the latest on her recovery.
Download Jillian Barbary, Steve Edwards, and me, Dorothy Lucy, on the OKLA podcast. Hey, it's free on iTunes. Tune in and KABC.com/OKLA.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, we're back. We're talking to John Manley, who is well known as a sexual abuse victim's lawyer. You don't want to say a sexual abuse of lawyer, a sexual abuse victim's lawyer, and has worked on a number of cases. John, before the break, you were differentiating between the class action suit and a number of the clients that you are representing. Now, are you up to about your firm, up to about 100 now?
We're closer to 200.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
awful.
Wow.
I mean, it's great that you're helping them, but it's awful that the numbers are that
it's
high.
Horrible.
It's terrible.
It's horrible. And I think the total number of survivors that have Tyndall that have come forward is well over 500. It's terrible.
Now, I have a question for you. There's this class action lawsuit. You said it was 250. I have it as 215. I don't know how much.
No, 215.
215, right? So if you have, you're part of this class action, can you then go and sue, like go to somebody like you and say, hey, I want to go individually. I want to sue this man. I want my day in court.
No. So if you opt into that class, the way it works, first of all, 30 million of that goes directly to the lawyers who did about 90 days worth of work.
Wow.
Which I think is an obscenity.
Ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
But secondly, you have to go through a process where a psychologist that you or psychiatrist or other mental health professional that USC agrees on has to evaluate you, and then whatever number they stick you with, as I understand it, that's your number. So you could get almost nothing. And to me, that is not respectful. It's not appropriate, and it's not right. And we're going to fight the certification of the class, which hasn't happened yet, and hopefully defeat that, because our clients not only want healing and justice for themselves, but they want to protect other women.
So
and,
when you say you're fighting certification, does that mean you're trying to stop this settlement for the class action from going through?
Correct. Or Under those terms.
Now, these attorneys who are making $30 million from it, are they obviously a little unhappy with what you're doing?
Yeah, well, get in line.
It doesn't seem fair. There's no justice to be had there, especially when you're dealing with psychiatrists and psychologists who a USC has to approve. Doesn't make any sense right there and then. Second,
yeah, no, it...
The only thing that it would make sense for is people that don't want to go to trial, people that don't want to tell their story, people that don't want to go public.
And there should be a method for those people to get compensated.
Right.
But they shouldn't be punished because like in that way, because simply they can't come forward. And it's very important that the justice system have credibility, especially with this issue. I mean, so many people are denied their day in court because mm-hmm. of the statute of limitations criminally. And, you know, USC, I don't know, you know, your wife can probably tell you about this, but when you show up there, because I went to
yeah, USC. You're a graduate of USC undergrad, aren't you?
Yes. And, you know, you show up, you're part of the Trojan family. They give you this big talk about you're in this family. And, you know, frankly, it's very convincing. You believe it. Well, if we're a family, these are our mothers, our sisters, and our daughters. And we ought to treat them like that. And frankly, the USC administration, the board, which includes people like Oscar Munoz, the president of United Airlines, Steven Spielberg, Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, they've said nothing. They've said nothing about this, and that's not okay.
But isn't it true that after this all got into the media, USC people like Dr. Wanda Austin were trying to say the right things and saying we care about everyone, maybe a little too late, but didn't they try to say something that would make them sound better?
You know what they say in Texas, talk is cheap and whiskey costs money. And, you know, that's the same thing, frankly, that the U.S. Olympic Committee and USA Gymnastics does. We care about our athletes. We don't want this to happen. Well, fine, but you're hiding the documents. You haven't given any, you haven't allowed an independent investigation. You've hired a law firm that represents your chairman of the board to do an investigation. And we need the truth. And part of justice is accountability. And, you know, George Tyndall didn't happen on his own. We know that in the 80s, there were complaints about him. It's important to know what they knew, when they knew it, and who did it. Who protected him, who enabled him. Because if you don't hold his enablers accountable, it's just going to happen again. And there's a, you know, when your first impulse as an administrator is to cover this up and then pay him to go away, that's not a good indicator of the culture. And remember, when they paid him to go away, they didn't report him to the medical board. They didn't report him to the police. He went out and practiced medicine for 3 more years. How many women did he hurt then? This is not going to stop with children or adults until people that enable perpetrators are held to account.
Like Sandusky.
Really important.
Like Sandusky,
yes,
you know, and everybody around him was fired.
That's exactly right. And the president of the university ended up going to jail.
Yeah.
Well, what did USC do to the president of the university who entered into that settlement and who helped cover it up? Dr. Nikias. They made him, he resigned, he's still on campus, and they made him a permanent member of the Board of Trustees. They rewarded him. What message are you sending to these women? That's not something you do to your family. That's something that you do to somebody that you despise.
Do you think that this type of response by large organizations like USC will continue after the Me Too movement? Or are companies going to start wisening up and realizing they got to act quick and act right away?
Well, Carrie made a good point, and she pointed out Sandusky. What happened in Sandusky is actually the president of the university, Penn State, one of the largest public universities in this country, went to jail. Just this past week, the former president of Michigan State, Lou Anna Simon, was indicted by the Michigan State Attorney General's office for lying to investigators. She's under criminal indictment. I think that's a very important thing. And if I were Dr. Nikias, I'd be looking over my shoulder. And when presidents of universities, when Catholic bishops, when school board presidents, when school superintendents realize that they fail to report this and they enable abusers, they're actually going to go to jail, it'll change. And frankly, you know, in my view, SC cares about reputation and money, and that's where you've got to attack them.
Speaking of money, John, and we're talking to John Manley of Manley, Stewart & Finaldi about the Dr. Tyndall, just the atrocities that went on for many, many years, what he was almost 30 years there. John, tell us where this money is going to come from. Not that we should worry about it, but people are concerned that if some of the victims deserve some kind of compensation, how is there going to be enough money from USC?
Sure. Well, USC has an endowment of nearly $10 billion. They, every bit of that university's real estate is owned by them. Frankly, they have huge amounts of insurance. You know, I'm not really focused on the money. I tell clients, if you're coming to me for money, you're making a terrible mistake, which sounds like a strange thing for a plaintiff attorney to say. What I can tell you is if you focus on healing and we leave the money up to the jury, that's how you get an award. And, you know, truly, if any of these women could trade no money and this wouldn't happen to them, they'd do it.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, if the defendants want to settle the cases, I'd be happy to talk to them. But I'm focused on finding out, you know, what did USC know and when did they know it? And if they think, you know, it's a good idea to settle the case instead of putting it in front of a jury and trying it to them, I'm more than happy to discuss it with them. But that's up to a jury.
And a lot of times the media attention does, I think, help future cases, because not only are you concerned about the individuals who have been harmed by this particular case, but, you know, you always want to make sure that this doesn't happen again and again, even though as an attorney, you obviously make money off it.
Right. And, you know, I love what I do, and I love what I do. Am I been financially successful? Sure. But what I love about my job is I watch people get better. Not everybody, but most do. And that's what makes it worthwhile. And, you know, the justice system can be, and I know Ms. Kasem can testify to this, the justice system can be a terrible thing, mm-hmm. or it can actually bring healing and hope. Most people's experience with it is mixed. And quite frankly, the civil justice system has done a great job of bringing attention to this issue when, quite frankly, I mean, the LAPD has worked really hard on this, but the DA's office still hasn't indicted him. And, you know, quite frankly, to many of our clients, that's very frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine. We only have a minute left, John. Tell us where we go from here with your cases and with the situation in general.
So the cases are in the LA Complex Division in front of Judge Carolyn Cool. Judge Cool is, we're sort of in the administrative phase of organizing the cases for discovery. We frankly expect him to be indicted, so there'll be a criminal, we expect to be a criminal indictment. And, you know, justice moves slowly, but it, you know, in the United States, it ends up being sure justice. So we'll just proceed. And what we're really anxious to do is get USC on the field and have administrators sit in the deposition chair and answer questions about what they knew and when they knew it. And then we'll, then, you know, with, frankly, some of the survivors sitting across the table from them and look them in the eye and answer the questions.
You know, I have to tell you, they really weren't really on the field this year at all, at least in football. So, you know, maybe it's time for them to step up to the plate, so to speak.
If they they thought about firing Clay Helton, who lost a few football games, but they didn't fire their president who allowed you know, this guy to get away
with
it.
That's a great point to end off on, because you talk about money interests, and, you know, the Helton thing is, if the USC's not winning games, you know, they're not getting the money they need to out of their football program, but they should be thinking a lot more about the moral issues involved in abuse and hurting people, especially their own family, as you call them.
Yes, sir.
John Manley, I want to thank you so much for being on Gervie's Law. Very informative. Good luck with your representation in this case and other cases. We haven't had a chance to talk about some of the other cases, but maybe another time we'll have you back so we can talk about that as well.
Anytime. Take care, you guys.
All right, take care. All right, you listen to Gervie's Law. We have to take a quick break. After the break, we have Heather Piper. So get ready to hear about mediation in family law. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. President Trump is confirming that Chief of Staff John Kelly will leave his post later this month. Trump made the announcement as he was leaving the White House today for the Army-Navy football game. The retired general has been Chief of Staff for about 17 months. China's lunar probe is on its way to make the first ever soft landing on the dark side of the moon. John Jeffries has details.
A rocket carrying the probe blasted off from the launch center in southwest China early Saturday, with plans for the lander to touch down in early January. The The probe will measure the mineral composition of the moon and radiation levels. It's also carrying scientific payloads developed by several other countries. China, the U.S., and Russia are the only nations to successfully land spacecraft on the moon.
KABC SoCal weather, mostly clear this evening, then partly cloudy overnight with lows in the upper 40s to mid-50s. Tomorrow and Monday, partly cloudy with highs in the middle 60s to lower 70s. More news coming up in 30 minutes. Continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Would you like to retire soon and have questions you'd like answered by someone who specializes in retirement planning? At Money Matters, we specialize in working with clients who are nearing and in retirement. What's the best way to plan for retirement income? When is the best time to take Social Security? And many others. If you're over 50 and have more than $100,000 in investable assets, please go to moneymatters.net. That's moneymatters.net, or call us today at 800-994-0302. 800-994-0302.
This is Behind the Mic with Brad Dalius.
Hey, it's Brad Dalius, host of Behind the Mic, and we're wrapping up your day with your favorite LA sports teams, the latest buzz in national sports, and more weeknights at 11 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Do you care about sex, addiction, mental health, social issues like the Me Too movement, and getting healthy? Tune in to Dr. Kate and Lauren for the provocative new show, Behind Closed Doors, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law. Still thinking about what can go wrong? Instead, let's get excited about what can go right on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah. Let's talk about what can go right. Wow, that last segment's a little bit depressing, but, you know, the heart is a glow. And we're talking about healing and hope. Healing and hope, those are two H words that are kind of my favorite two H words next to Hudson and Harper. But healing and hope, that's what John Manley talked about in the first half hour of our show, talking about sexual abuse victims. And now we want to talk to someone who's really important to a lot of people because she provides healing and hope in some of the most desperate, some of the most negative situations. Whenever we talk about divorce, whenever we talk about family law problems, child custody, it's a real emotional issue. There's a lot of anger involved, typically a lot of frustration. And Heather Piper helps take that away in kind of a different approach than what we typically think about all-out war from the, you know, the movies, the War of the Roses and some of those divorce movies. Kramer versus Kramer, which is a great movie.
Yes.
You know, you think about alternatives, healing and hope. Heather Piper is a mediator in family law for Piper Law and Mediation. And we have Heather right here in studio with us. So we're privileged to have her to talk about these issues that are so pervasive in so many people's lives. Heather, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. She's got such a pleasant way, but I'm looking at Carrie and we both smiled. And I can imagine, Heather, that's something that's so important when you're dealing with mediation of most often people who are not happy with each other.
Yes, absolutely. Generally, when I meet my clients, they're really at probably the worst point, the lowest point in their life. Yeah. And so it's my job to kind of get them through that process and facilitate their agreements. And my goal as a mediator is for them to leave the process feeling a little bit better than they did when they first walked in my door.
You know, people are sometimes confused as to what mediation is and why someone might be in mediation versus in a court of law.
Okay, so mediation is a process where a couple would meet with an impartial third party, which would be me, or there are plenty of other people in this town that also do this
work. But we're talking about the best people, so that would be you.
Yes, yeah, the best. So I serve as their an impartial third party for them to facilitate the party, the two people, and you know, the judicial system calls them petitioner and respondent in a case. I use their names. You know, Joe and Sally need a divorce, and my job is to help Joe and Sally facilitate arriving at an agreement together without ever having to see the inside of a courtroom. That's always the goal.
Now, I have a question, because I know that when you mediate, especially in other court cases, you can't really take that into the courtroom and what was done in mediation. But if you see somebody who's extremely abusive, or you see somebody who's trying to take a kid away from somebody just out of spite, can you make a recommendation to the judge that this is going on?
No. Mediation is protected under this umbrella of confidentiality. And really, the reason this confidentiality is there is to encourage people to come into the room and bring their best game and bring their best settlement offer. And what we don't want to happen is to breach that confidentiality and then have the other person show up in court and say, they were willing to give me this much money in mediation. You know, why can't I get that now? So that's really why mediation is behind this confidentiality aspect. And I could never, for example, be a witness and in a party's case to tell them how they were treating each other in the room.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because it begs the question as to whether, if it isn't successful, are these parties going to court, or is this something alternative to court? Is it binding? There are all these questions that people want to know about mediation because they don't really understand the ramifications or implications.
Well, mediation's voluntary, so it's really, you know, Joe and Sally coming to me saying they'd like to work on the mediation of their case. We'd work on it together. They can drop out at any point. And I always have the conversation with my clients that if you feel like you want to terminate the mediation and, you know, pursue your litigation or any other avenue, let's have a conversation first.
Yeah, and tell them how much it's going to cost.
And, you know, to do a trial in L.A. County is about $50,000 a day per person in a divorce case. So those numbers are real. And when you think about wiping out your child's college account so that you can battle your wife or husband, it does give people pause.
Yeah, I can imagine it does. In fact, we just got a text, and I just want to read it because I guess people are listening and are interested in this. The text says that these two are getting a divorce, and the husband owns a carpet company, which they built up after they got married. He's doing very well. He bought a brand new work vehicle and is the breadwinner in the house, pays for most of the bills. He wants to keep the house and is saying to his wife, and this must be coming from the wife, that they don't need lawyers to divvy things up. She wants to remain cordial with him, but isn't sure what she should do. Should, and you know, it's always third party. It's like, you know, someone's talking about my friend. Should my friend get a lawyer, or what alternatives are there so she doesn't get taken advantage of, but at the same time remain cordial?
It's a perfect case for mediation, and in such a situation, there I go through kind of the different avenues that people can go through. And one is that traditional, what we see in Hollywood on the TV or in film, that you go off and retain a lawyer, hand them the check, and the next day they're off serving your spouse. You know, usually in an embarrassing way, and, you know, to humiliate them in front of, you know, who knows who at work.
Exactly.
So there's that route. And then there's the route of you can meet with a mediator, and the two people can try and work out an agreement with
me.
At any time.
Like in this case that we just got this text, they could do it right now without anything happening in court.
Right now. In fact, my preference is to get the case before anything ever happens in court, because that's actually the first agreement that you would try to reach in mediation.
What if both couples aren't on board? How do you deal with that?
Well, there are a few things. I would always reach out to the couple and try to have a conversation with them and dig into what is it that they're afraid of with the process, and just to really have some education about what the process is. And there's kind of a misconception that if you're in mediation, you know, someone's going to, you know, get taken advantage of. And the point with mediation is that it can actually work really well for both people and for the family as a whole.
Now, do you have both the people inside the room, or are they in different rooms like in regular mediation? Like when I've done mediation, we're completely separate.
Right.
It depends. There are some cases where I meet independently with each person, and then it's very much shuttle diplomacy. And sometimes I have them in a conference room down the hall, and I'm back and forth between the two rooms because they can't stand to be in the same room. But ultimately, I try to get them in the same room.
Or at least on the same page.
Yeah, you can work, you know, at half the speed if you have them in the same room.
Yeah. And what about lawyers? Because, you know, I think Carrie asked an important question about whether they're together or not. Do you have lawyers involved or no lawyers, or how does that work?
We can do it many ways. There are some cases where there are no lawyers involved until the very end. And when we reach an agreement, and I actually draw up the agreement for the people so that it's a very neutral document that I'm presenting both people to sign off on, they will sometimes take it to a consulting attorney who will give it his or her blessing of the agreement and let them know that it was fair. Sometimes they bring lawyers to the meeting, and then I have two attorneys and two clients and, you know. And
is that easier or harder with lawyers at the meeting?
It can be more difficult with lawyers at the meeting.
Yeah, because of those lawyers' egos. They're awful.
There tends to be some posturing and some threatening, you know.
This is why, I mean, I'm telling you, prenup. I think it should be a law that you have to have a prenup, especially if you're going to have kids. What if we get a divorce? What do we do with the kids? Where's the agreement? Because at that point, you're saying you're not angry at each other. You love each other. Create the prenup. Why is that not? I mean, out of what, one in California, it's one out of two marriages, one out of three marriages ends in divorce.
Don't look at me.
Something like that, correct?
Yeah, it is.
So why is that not something that is standard?
Well, a lot of people think you don't need the prenup because you can just look at the California Family Code and you know how the case is going to end up. And so some people feel happy with what the Family Code provides in that situation, so they don't want to document it with the prenup.
Others,
you know, do go the prenup route, and then often there's a lot of litigation over the prenup because
how is that possible though?
Before the marriage or during the marriage?
Well, prenups are usually heavily negotiated, and you know both people have counsel, and you know they're very complicated to do right, and so that they can actually
hold up in court.
Yeah. But you know, if someone's reached the divorce stage, usually with a prenup, someone will be unhappy with that agreement. They will either feel that they're not getting enough or that they're having to pay too much under the prenup. And so even those can be litigated.
As a mediator, do you get involved in prenups? Can you offer that service?
Yes, we do mediate just the entering into a prenup.
That must be just fascinating. So you have two people who, let's say they're getting married. Here they are with you as a mediator, and they don't have that anger and animosity in the history through the marriage. And they're still trying to figure it out.
And still plan for, you know, their worst case scenario.
It's called sanity. It's called smarts. It's called not letting emotion, you know, rule. It's the smartest thing you can do. And for people who don't want to get a prenup, I look and I shake my head. Because most of the time in most of the marriages that I have gone to in my life, they're all divorced. I think there's... maybe one or two people that of all the marriages that I've been to are still together.
Well, make sure you don't invite Carrie Kasem to your wedding. All right, we have to take a quick break. We're talking to Heather Piper, Piper Law and Mediation, and it's in Santa Monica, right? That's where your office is?
In West L.A.
Oh, West L.A. Yeah. Okay. Piper Law and Mediation. We're going to talk a little bit more about mediation and about Heather herself and how she got into it. After the break, you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
I can't believe it.
That we're playing 4-on-4 basketball with a barbershop quartet?
Pass the ball, pass the rock. We're open, just pass the ball. Pass the ball.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Holiday Inn Express wants to let you in on a little secret. There's still time to get at least 20% off at HolidayInnExpress.com during our annual sale. We'll even throw in free breakfast. Just kidding. Breakfast is always included in your stay at Holiday Inn Express. Book now and save at HolidayInnExpress.com. Terms apply.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. Talking about little girls and daddies. Carrie Kasem's here with me.
I am right here.
Little girl and a daddy.
Yeah, I hear ya.
You're in the news. We're not going to talk about it now, but your daddy and you are in the news.
That's true.
We're talking to Heather Piper, Piper Law and Mediation. Really interesting stuff, talking about resolving disputes in mediation and how effective it can be. There are so many choices when you're in mediation, Heather, but when you go to court, it's limited. I know when I deal with my clients, I always have to advise them, when we go to court, you could get nothing. You could get this or you can get nothing.
Yes.
But isn't it different when we're talking about mediation?
Well, in family law, your families have two options. It's either take it to trial or settle. And so, of course, mediation offers the family an opportunity to figure out what they want their settlement to be. And a lot of times when I'm discussing how mediation is different from litigation for families, I just take a piece of paper out for my clients.
As you have just now.
And I show them, this is your life, and this is everything you know about your family and your finances and your business, and everything you have is on this piece of paper. And if you take it to litigation downtown, lawyers are going to file motions, they're going to limit evidence.
It's origami.
And
I'm doing origami,
and I'm getting a hand signal to do my origami in front of the mic.
That's right.
So the court process reduces your life, your little single piece of paper.
So I'm going to explain. I'm going to do color commentary. She's now taken a huge piece of paper and folded it five or six times to make it small.
I have a little box here.
Yes.
And when you get your day in court, which will cost you $50,000 per person per day for a day of trial downtown L.A.
Oh, that's just horrible.
The judge is going to look at this much of your life, and they're going to make a decision. And they have 15 cases on the docket that day. So they're going to decide where your kids spent Christmas Eve.
Wow.
That's the court model. And then when you're dealing with mediation, what you do is you bring your little piece of paper to your mediator, which would be me.
Yeah.
And I say, tell me about your life. Tell me what's important to you. Tell me what your goals are for your children. Where would you like your kids to spend Christmas Eve? Where do the grandparents want your kids to spend Christmas Eve? And mediation lets the people
actually talk about
about it and make a decision and keep control over their own life.
So that you get the whole picture. You don't get that tiny little piece of origami. You open up the entire piece of paper and you see their lives.
Yeah.
And then, you know, which a judge, because I've been in court a lot lately.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
They only, you're right. They are packed. They only, and a lot of times they don't remember everything that happened in the court cases before. So you have to remind them. And then it's still like, okay, well, we're gonna wait on this. We're going to hold it over. And you're right. It costs a lot of money.
The clock is ticking. They got to move it on. Now, speaking of moving on, I do want to say, Heather, you come by this naturally. A lot of people wonder, like, how do you get so good at being a mediator? And how do you know so much, obviously, being a lawyer, but you've actually in your personal life experienced divorce. You have two beautiful kids, and I know because I've met them. They're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
They're valued. They're polite. They're the perfect kids. Not probably not the perfect kids, but when I was with them anyway, I was so impressed. And they are a product of a divorced family, and it's working. It's absolutely working. And that's what you're trying to do for other people as well.
They are amazing, so thank you for that. And really, I've been divorced for 6 years, so my children were very young. They were like 4 and 3 or right around there when we separated. And I knew from my work already in this field, mm-hmm. because I'd done family law litigation, you know, prior to having them, I knew that every study of divorce said the children who fare the best from divorced families are those children whose parents were able to minimize conflict. And so that
in the divorce
process. In the divorce process mm-hmm. and afterwards, because it's not just the divorce, it's your entire relationship with your ex-husband or ex-wife for the duration of their childhood.
That's right.
And really, divorce is a marker, but what you enter into after that is the divorce word is co-parenting relationship. And if you think it's hard to co-parent with someone that you're married to and you love and you've taken a commitment to, imagine when you're divorced and you have to make agreements with them and continue on.
Wow. So
my children were really the guiding force for me to enter into the mediation work, is that I saw it worked for my family and I wanted other people to benefit from what I'd learned, you know, over the years professionally and then personally.
Are you one of those people that have a better relationship with your ex-husband now than you did when you were married?
Yes. We joke that we were the worst married couple and the best
of friends.
divorced couple.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. But that's awesome.
And it's so important. And it's really a guiding light for a lot of people, because it often looks like there is no tomorrow and that things are so awful. But through mediation, a lot of times you can really get to the crux of the matter without all of the anger, hopefully without all of the animosity, in the best interests of children, or in the best interest, if you don't have children, of yourselves.
Yes, absolutely. And I always like to say, you know, divorce is not something that you should necessarily have to recover from, but that mediation is a process that can enable you to heal from the divorce from your spouse.
It's so important. You know, I believe in it, and I think that people should think about it. Now, if they are thinking about it, they wanted to contact you. How, Heather, can people get in touch with you, even if it's just a matter of trying this out? Try this mediation thing out.
Oh, absolutely. I guess my website?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. PiperMediation.com.
So that's Piper, like P-I-P-E-R. Mediation.com. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, it is.
Mediation is MEDIATION. .com.
It's not meditation.
Many people.
That's funny.
And people ask me all the time, well, how exactly? What are you meditating on?
Exactly. You're like, no.
Sometimes that might help in your mediation if the couple are meditating.
But when we first had her on and we got a letter from the producer,
yeah.
I kept looking at it going, I swear, like, what is she, we're having somebody talk about meditation on? I did. I look, yeah. I'm like, no, no. Oh God, this is a law show. It's mediation.
Well, we do from time to time. I, you know, for the right couple, I will pull out some meditative techniques.
Very good.
You, taking a deep breath or visualizing what you want to see for your family. Or,
as a lawyer,
there's lots of tricks.
You have to be a therapist, especially in family law, a lawyer and a therapist. And I think you're a real good one. Thank you, Heather Piper, for being on the show on Gervie's Law. It's Piper Law and Mediation, PiperMediation.com to get a hold of her. And that's going to do it.
That's it.
That's it. What a show.
It was a good one. It went by super fast. I always know when it's a good show when it goes by like that.
It
and I'm
did
just
go
so
by.
Happy that we're smiling because, you know, these are tough subjects that we're talking
yes.
about. If we can smile in tough subjects, Gervie's Law is doing something positive.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have a great week, everyone.